Welcome to the Welsby Shift podcast, business and life coaching that works. We are Amanda Welsby and Emma Welsby, two sisters with one goal, to share tools that may help make navigating life easier. Who you are filters into everything you are and do, whether it be your work life or family life. We help to surface strategies that may assist you in finding ways that improve outcomes and make life and work feel a whole lot more manageable. In each podcast, we will discuss common life topics with insights that may help to make your life an easier place to be. Welcome to the Welsby Shift podcast. So today we are talking about the topic of fear. So let's start with you, Amanda. What are you fearful of?
The first thing that comes to mind is that I am afraid for my children. They are adult children. I was afraid for their future when they were dependent children, and I'm afraid for their future now. I think that's just an innate part of who I am. I'm also afraid for that future because of the socio-political environment in which we exist right now. Globally, in the US specifically, living here, the disconnection that we feel from one another is like disconnection from your fellow human beings. I perceive as really, really dangerous. And for myself, because that's about the other, of course, right? For myself, I often feel a generalized fear of not being worthy of my place in the world and constantly having to prove that I have a place. Or that I can't prove that I have a place. Yeah, those are some fears I live with all the time. How about you?
That was interesting. Okay, so mine are, I have a completely illogical fear of not having enough money. And I don't know if that comes from like when I was a lot younger and things were a lot harder. But I could literally be a multi-billionaire and I would still worry about money. It's completely irrational. So that's one of the big ones. I have a trauma-related fear, which is feeling safe in my own home, which completely rocks you to the core. And that comes from when I was about 8-9 years old, and we had an attempted burglary at the house when we were asleep, and the police dog got stabbed round the side of the house, and there was police running everywhere and shouting, and I got woken up to this, and I literally froze like a brick in my bed. And then I literally had trauma, for very intense trauma, for a year afterwards. I couldn't sleep in my own bed. And then I managed to get to the point where I could close the curtains when it got dark, not before it was dark. And then I was all right for about 10-15 years until I was back at home in our parental home again. And it happened not the same way, but somebody tried to break in again when we were asleep. And it literally, it was a trauma response. I was like frightened about the curtains again and all sorts, like, and I just had to tell myself I wasn't going there. So that's like a massive one. And my last fear is the fear of loneliness. And it's similar to yours in that I just feel like we don't live in villages anymore. Your neighbor can be dead and nobody knows for like 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months. There's like a severe lack of connection, and it's a very Western world problem.
Right. Yeah. I think it's interesting you said, and my last fear is, and I thought, God, I wish I had a last fear. I'm sure it's true for you, right? Yeah. I mean, gosh. I think it's interesting how we have internalized fears about ourselves, and we have external fears that are actually about other people or external situations that we may or may not be part of. And so, yeah, and it's interesting to what comes up for individuals first or second, what they think about or may not think about.
Yes,
So,
for
but we all
sure.
have both. We all have both.
So I was talking before about like my physical manifestations of fear, about like freezing in my bed. So fear can do things like obviously increase your heart rate. Man, I felt that night. Breathing, your breathing increases, and things like muscle tension and stuff like that. Obviously, there's the fight, flight, freeze response. So some people want to just fight their way through the problem. I can fight sometimes. Flight is just running away, or freeze, which is you can't do anything. And I think from my point of view, it can definitely be tailored to what the situation is, as to what one of those three that you do. So fear can be quite useful in some ways. So it protects us and it keeps us safe. And also, when you have fear, it helps you to learn about what that situation was, and it can keep you safe in future. But also, fear can also be very not useful in our lives, and it can be completely irrational, like having phobias of things. I have a phobia of
Debilitating.
spiders. That's one that many people have. They're not going to eat you unless you're in some exotic country. And it can also create a lot of anxiety, which is very true for me. And it can be really disabling and stops you from doing what it is that you need to do. And it's funny what you're talking before about how one of your fears is the fear of uncertainty about the future, like politically, etc. Because certainty is a survival instinct, and we definitely used to have that more than we do now. And this is why fear can feel difficult, because we do live in a world where certainty is not a given in any situation right now. Certainty is a survival instinct, and it's funny you mentioned it before, because we do not live in a society now in the Western world which is very certain at all. It's never felt this uncertain ever. And that's why the fear can feel difficult, because it's
It's in
not.
our living memory, right? In our living memories, the people that are alive today, right? This time period has feels more uncertain than it ever has, probably since the Second World War. And that generation that has living memory of that is rapidly dying out. And
That's a
so, yeah.
massive problem. It's a massive
Yes,
problem.
it
So
is. And it
where
makes some people really arrogant about, the future. They haven't learned the lessons of the past from their elders. And for other people who are more attuned to the emotion of fear, it exacerbates it even more.
Exactly right. So where do you think fear ultimately comes from?
So I think fear, we are born as complete. We're born without any, it's a blank slate, right? So when you can see maps of synapse connections, there's technology to do this. I don't understand it. Synapse connections in babies, and there's like five, maybe, And then as we grow, we make synapse connections until about the age of five, when it is the connections are so dense. It's incredible, and that's reflective of learning. And so I think we're all born perfect, and we're in contact with just the essence of our souls, if you like. I'm sorry if that sounds a little woo-woo, right? And then over time, as we experience certain things, we lose contact with that. And it's because not while I am sure that the vast majority of parents did everything that they could to meet every developmental need you had, because we are human and we are imperfect, it was inevitable that every need could not be met. And if you've ever been a parent, you know that just in knowing how tired you are in the middle of the night. And when you get woken up for the third, fourth, fifth, sixth time, how angry you might get, how sad you get, how, just bereft of hope you can get, right? So our parents could not cope with all of our needs, far less meet them perfectly, and especially not those needs that were not met in themselves as children, right? So babies are born with, the full gamut, the full range of emotions. They have access to all of those things. And then our parents mirror those emotions back to us, and we learn whether they're acceptable or not. But if you've got a baby, for example, who's full of joy, naturally full of joy, life is good, and mum is depressed, mum may find it very hard, if not impossible, to reflect that joy back to the baby, right? So if that emotion is blocked in the parent and it's not mirrored, not reflected, it induces anxiety in the child. Is this emotion that I'm feeling acceptable or not acceptable? And I'm not talking about whether an emotion is good or bad. There's no such thing as good or bad emotions. I'm talking about, is it acceptable in the mirroring, from the mirroring I'm getting? Is the impression I'm getting that it's acceptable or not, right? And then a child will learn to either keep trying to get that emotion reflected back to them, or they will give up. But in either case, I know it's heavy, isn't it? It's heavy. In either case, those unmet needs or blockages that we put in place ourselves because we gave up, right, become part of me that is missing. And that unconscious awareness of something that is wrong or missing about me becomes pervasive and becomes our basic fear.
Oh, it's just brutal, isn't it? Like
And inevitable.
if you've not had the joy of having kids yet, because I'm new to this. I've got little ones, and yeah, I worry every day about not screwing them up. So, even though perhaps all of our backgrounds can be quite different when we're babies, there are common triggers between people, right? So like we have innate fears with like heights and snakes and spiders, and we have traumatic experiences like I talked about. We have imagined threats where your anxiety can make your mind wander to make threats out of things that aren't necessarily real. We've talked about having a trigger of the unknown, like uncertainty of situations that are going on. And we also have fear that comes from learned fears from what you were saying, we'd learned from parents, caregivers, or friends. So, I know you have a lot of knowledge, Amanda, about learned fears. So, can you talk to me about learned fears?
So it's an extension of what we just talked about in terms of the development of that basic fear in very early childhood, right? And so some examples of how this comes out is that we tell ourselves stories about why this I have an unmet need. I know I have a need. It's not conscious, it's all subconscious, right? That some needs were met and some were not, and we tell our stories about why. And those are the messages that we end up believing about ourselves. So, for example, some people receive a message that it's not okay to make mistakes. Or it's not okay to have my own needs outside of the needs of a parent, for example. You might believe it's not okay to have my own feelings and my own identity independent of a parent. You might believe that it's not okay to be too functional or too happy, right? If you had a lot of joy as a child and that wasn't mirrored back to you, you might believe it's not okay to be happy. There's something not good about that. Other folks might believe that it's not okay to trust yourself, or that it's not okay to trust other people. And a slight pivot on that is it's not okay to depend on anyone for anything. And others may believe that it's not okay to assert yourself. And that is all about, those messages are a reflection of inner beliefs about themselves that might look like, I'm flawed in some fundamental way. And so I can't make mistakes because I've got to eliminate my flaws, right? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, or, feeling unworthy of being loved. Because I don't perceive myself, I think this is one of my issues actually, is that, I'm afraid to see myself as loved and lovable and having my own place all by myself, right? And so, and some people learned, that the whole thing about not trusting other people is. Comes from an ex usually comes from an experience of feeling controlled by others at some point and feeling betrayed in the process. So there's a huge interplay of dynamics here that is learned as we go through life, and then we repeat those patterns in various aspects of our life, personally and professionally.
Yes, it crosses into both, unfortunately, like most things do. We're always battering on about that. So those are learned behaviors. So, at times, I'm sure we have all been in a situation where we have found ourselves in a situation where we are ruminating and obsessing over some sort of fear, and you feel like you've kind of lost it a little bit. Like you can't think logically. And that's because when we feel fear, sometimes we have an amygdala hijack. So the amygdala is the front part of your brain, and it's the brain's emotional center. And when it takes over, it triggers the fight or flight response, and then we cannot think logically. Like it turns off the rational thought. So you feel like you've lost your mind, and this can happen when you're angry or sad, and also when you feel fear. So it's not just exclusive to fear or exclusive to being angry or sad. It can do it at any time. And with fear, it can almost feel like doomsday prepping.
That's right. Which
So,
might seem perfectly rational to many people. Like, we know that there are many people out there who doomsday prep,
Yes,
And
there is.
but
They have
it
their.
is. If you think about it, it is right, wrong, indifferent. It is a response to fear of something that you think might happen in the future.
Exactly that. And just wholly powered by anxiety and uncertainty.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So with fear, a change of perspective can help manage fear. But if you understand how your own mind processes fear in the first place, it can help you manage your way out of the feeling of fear. So we all have like our own self monologue as to what our fears are, and we know that they can protect you, but also can keep you really small. So, do you think when people feel fear, is it actually saying, I am not enough?
I think it depends on the message that you are telling yourself, the story you are telling yourself in a certain circumstance. So I know to go back what you previously said about the amygdalic hijack. For me, what that looks like is a manifestation of anger. Now, I might actually be afraid, right? But that comes out for me as anger. And it might be different for you. How does it come out for you?
I can get sad and
Right.
cry.
Okay, so you kind of turn in on yourself and get an almost like over emoting, right? Whereas I will get angry. So I think the first thing is to catch that red flag for yourself. I know when I'm starting to get angry. Uh-oh, what is happening here? What's the story I'm telling myself? And I can insert myself into that moment. Because the thing about those hijacks is that you're not rational. So you have to catch yourself before you become irrationally irrational, if that's the thing, right? To catch yourself there and ask yourself, what is the message I'm telling myself? Now, it might be I'm not enough. It might be I'm not worthy. It might be I'm incompetent. It might be I'm vulnerable. It might be I'm insecure. It might be any number of things.
Exactly. So I've seen some people when they get fearful, they put up walls. How do you think that works when it comes to fear?
Well, I think it's the fight or flight, right? I think the freeze is a wall, but it won't actually help you. Yeah, it's learning how you respond, I think. So my anger response is a fight response. And you've had a fear response. Flight responses, yeah, I'm not so familiar with flight responses myself. I mean, I'm sure I have them, but they don't immediately come to mind. But I think the putting up walls is actually a freeze response.
Okay. And I'm sure we've all met people as well, that when they feel fear, they present a different emotion. So it could almost look like, well, they're really angry or sad, or it gets twisted, which is called cross-wiring.
Another podcast, right? I mean that yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you know, Emma, I'm interested in how do you see fear playing out in business environments, especially in terms of you running your own business? It takes guts to run your own business. And I have huge respect for people that do that. You do it, and you do it for other people who are doing it. So I'm particularly interested in how you see it play out in that environment.
Well, yeah, I have my own demons with that, and yes, I see other people's demons working along with that as well. So I see the people that are the most successful generally are people that they have the same fears, but they just plow through. I think it was Richard Branson has his book Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And a lot of successful business owners actually can suffer with imposter syndrome. So they're just doing it anyway, even though they might feel like a fraud when they're actually not a fraud, but they're just able to power through. Some people will define goals that they want to hit in their business, and then they quantify the fear that they have about those goals and then assess its merit. So, is that fear a realistic thing? They can really step out of their own head and view it from outside, but that's also what like a business coach or mentor can help you do as well, to
Yeah, it's
help you
very
power through.
intentional, that is, to
Yeah,
do that, and
really
requires you to
intentional.
look at yourself closely.
Yeah, just to feel it and do it anyway. If you make a decision which is purely based in fear, then it's coming from a place of scarcity. So it's almost like you've made the decision to do something, but you might not necessarily like push yourself as hard as you need to make it happen. So it's kind of like you're going forwards, but then you're coming backwards.
Is it because you're scared? So when you say scarcity, is it because you're scared of losing something and pushing forward, you're scared of losing something you already have?
It could be scared, yeah, if you're having to plow a lot of money into something and you're scared it's not going to work, but then that means you're not 100% committed to something and you're actually not throwing everything at it because there's that little thing in the back of your mind that's holding you back. So it can really play against you if you're not aware of what's going on for yourself. So it has to be, you have to quantify your goals and then look at the fears and understand those fears so that when it comes up, you know that how to squash it. It's like, well, I've already looked at this. I knew I was going to feel like this well in advance of doing it, and here we are. So I've assessed the merit of that fear and I'm just not going to buy into what I'm thinking right now. And if you have a business coach, then it's like, you know, and that other person has also quantified that I need to just plow through with this. So if you know what you're striving for, you can just plow through the fear. I think in business as well, the fear of failure, there's like an element of feeling anxiety and shame if it does go wrong. And
For
also,
sure.
the anxiety of like feeling judged by others, especially if what you're doing is a business thing and you're presenting it to lots of people and you've got employees who you've sold this idea into them and then you've fallen flat on your face, but you're supposed to be the boss and the person in charge and the inspiration. But you can also inspire people by your own downfalls because it happens to everyone, no matter who you are. So you can only learn by doing it, feel the fear, and then see that actually it's not that bad. And sometimes our greatest achievements are things that were the hardest things that we could face down, such as fear. So coming back from fear, then, if we felt the fear, a lot of people say it's the picking yourself up that counts. So if you do something big and you felt the fear and you ploughed through and it went wrong, you've just got to pick yourself up and learn from it. Because if you're not learning, you're not growing.
That's right. And an important part of that is, what is the message? What is the story I'm telling myself about me in this circumstance? And when you look at it and ask yourself the question, and is that true? Or where did that come from? Right? It can help you navigate through some of that. For me, I know that a lot of it is about, if I fall flat on my face, clearly it's true that I didn't belong here in the first place.
Exactly, and there's no shame in that.
Right. Yeah, there isn't, but I have to understand that I belong wherever I am. That is one of the things that I've had to process for myself and keep repeating to myself over and over again.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that was a great chat, and I'll see you next time.
Right. Thanks, Emma.
So in this episode, we talked about how fear can impact both your life and your business. I just wanted to remind you that the Wellsby Shift offers life coaching and business coaching and mentoring. So if you are looking for help with your fear, perhaps with your life or your business, please get in contact with us today. Thanks so much for listening today. We really appreciate you. If you liked what you heard today, then please follow or subscribe to the podcast so that you won't miss any episodes. You can do this by going to the show page on your chosen podcast player and click the plus or follow buttons. If you like the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and share with a friend. Don't forget to visit the website thewellsbyshift.com to find out more about our business and life coaching that we offer. And why not come to check out our blog posts, videos, and more? See you next time.